The reading is Hebrews 10, starting at verse 19. That's page 1208 in the Church Bibles. Page 1208, Hebrews 10. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This is the word of the Lord.
I'm Joel Madur. I'm just the minister here. So I'm going to bring the second reading, and I'll be giving the talk today. So the second reading is from Ezra chapter 3. So it's on page number 474 in the Church Bibles. When the seventh month came and the Israelites had settled in their towns, the people assembled together as one in Jerusalem. Then Joshua, son of Josadak, and his fellow priests, and Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and his associates began to build the altar of the God of Israel to sacrifice a burnt offering on it, in accordance with what is written in the law of Moses, the man of God. Despite their fear of the peoples around them, they built the altar on its foundation and sacrificed burnt offerings on it to the Lord, both the morning and the evening sacrifices. Then, in accordance with what is written, they celebrated the festival of tabernacles with the required number of burnt offerings prescribed for each day. After that, they presented the regular burnt offerings, the new moon sacrifices, and the sacrifices for all the appointed sacred festivals of the Lord, as well as those brought as freewill offerings to the Lord. On the first day of the seventh month, they began to offer burnt offerings to the Lord, though the foundations of the Lord's temple had not been laid. Then they gave money to the masons and carpenters, and gave food and drink and olive oil to the people of Sidon and Tyre, so that they could bring cedar logs by sea from Lebanon to Joppa, as authorized by Cyrus, king of Persia. The second month of the second year after their arrival at the house of God in Jerusalem, Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Joshua, son of Josadak, and the rest of the people, the priests and the Levites and all who had returned from the captivity to Jerusalem, began the work. They appointed Levites 20 years old and older to supervise the building of the house of the Lord. Joshua and his sons and brothers, and Kadmiel and his sons, descendants of Hodaviah, and the sons of Henadad, and their sons of the brothers, all Levites joined together in supervising those working on the house of God. When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests in their vestments and with trumpets, and the Levites, the son of Asaph, with cymbals, took their places to praise the Lord as prescribed by David, king of Israel. With praise and thanksgiving, they sang to the Lord, "He is good, his love towards Israel endures forever." And all the people gave a great shout of praise to the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the older priests and Levites and family heads who have seen the former temple wept aloud when they saw the foundation of this temple being laid, while many others shouted for joy. No one could distinguish the sound of the shouts of joy from the sound of the weeping, because the people made so much noise, the sound was heard far away. Let me pray before we... Father, we thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you that you have gathered us as your people. Thank you that we have your word in our hands. Thank you that you have built your church over the years and the gates of hell hasn't prevailed. Even today, Lord, we pray that you would be with us and use your word to build your people. We ask everything in Jesus' name. Amen. So most of us here, we have gathered here as Christians. Now, the Bible is clear that there is a work all of God's people should be involved. It is a work God himself has started. It is a work God himself will complete. God is involved in the work of bringing people together from every nation, tongue, and tribe to live with him forever. We are at work to do his plans. Last week we saw in Ezra chapter 1 and 2 that God was involved in moving his people from a foreign land to start life with him. God was moving the Israelites back home because he had things for them to do with him. In this chapter that we are looking at today, Ezra chapter 3, we have a list of tasks that the Israelites do as they start their life with God. It is not a complete list, but we'll look at four things the Israelites did, which will give us the glimpse as to what we should also be busy doing as Christians. If you're not a Christian, you might have had your own ideas from the popular media what Christians will be doing. But from this passage, you can know some of the things God has urged his people to do. At the end, I'll come back to you and to talk to you specifically if you are interested to know more about Christian faith. So the four things Israelites did that they want to highlight are, firstly, the gathering. So it's in the slide, gathering. Second was devoting themselves fully to God. Third was remembering. And fourth was rejoicing. So firstly, gathering. When the whole world went into pandemic, I thought there will never come a time when people will be interested in gathering together as people. There's so much to watch online. You have the Netflix, Prime Video, and so much that I thought once the pandemic lockdown is over, there won't be any interest in people gathering together. But look at Taylor Swift concert or the Oasis concert coming up. People are queuing up to gather together and do things together. But why do Christians gather? Why do you and I gather together to do things together? The Bible's understanding is it because gathering is a gift from God. Growing up in South India, I have read stories in newspaper of children rebel against their parents and run away to North India. They end up being caught by gangsters and used as child laborers. They have no way of returning back to their parents. But their parents keep looking for their children. They get the help of the police. After many years, some parents finally trace and rescue their children. They bring them back home to start new life with them. Once they come back and be part of their family, that's when they get to meet with their siblings around the dinner table. There is something similar that happens in the book of Ezra. Israelites sinned against God, and their rebellion resulted in them living in a far-off country for 70 years. God was the one who rescued them in chapter 1 and 2. And he is the one who is bringing them back to live with him in the promised land. Now if you look down to Ezra chapter 3 verse 1. Now the Israelites have settled in their towns, and in the seventh month of the Jewish calendar, the people assemble as one in Jerusalem. Why do they gather at Jerusalem? Because that's where God's temple was there previously. Temple was a place God promised to meet with his people. That's like God's home. God promised if Israelites gather at the Jerusalem, he will meet them. It is like a gift from God that God people were made to belong once again with God, and they were able to gather with other believers who God has brought from the foreign land who were under captivity. So Israelites gathered together because God made them belong to one another. But also, Israelites gathered together to be involved in God's temple project. So the previous temple that was built at Jerusalem was destroyed by the Babylonians. Now in Ezra chapter 3, the Israelites have gathered together amidst ruins. They were clearing the ruins of the temple to identify the exact place of the altar of the temple. However, the Israelites knew that now, as God's people, they have an opportunity to be involved in God's temple building project. In verse 1, it says, the Israelites gathered together as one man. In their terms of commitment, vision, their mindset, their outlook, they were all united in what they wanted to do. They all wanted to get involved in God's temple project. So the Israelites started their new life because God made them belong with him, but also God made them belong with one another, and they were given a job to do. Israelites were Old Testament people of God. We Christians are New Testament believers of God. With the coming of Jesus, no particular place has any significance. People from any nation, if they have put their trust in Jesus, they can come and meet at a place closer and convenient to them. It doesn't need to be Jerusalem. It doesn't need to be a church building. However, we are also called to gather together because God has made us belong, and we belong to one another as God's people. And when we gather together, Jesus has promised that we too have an opportunity to meet in his presence. Christians also prioritize meeting with other people and being involved in God's work. So that's the first thing that the Israelites did. They gathered together. And what else did they do? At the start of the new life with God, the Israelites also offered burnt offerings. If you look at verse 2, so we will look at it at the next under the next heading, devoting their lives to God. So in verse 2, we see the leaders of Israel. There are the spiritual leaders, like the priests, but also there are leaders like Zerubbabel who work in the society, who also joined together to build the altar. Then we see that burnt offering were being offered on the altar. So if you see also in verse 2, they are closely guided by the guidelines given from the book of the Bible. So if you look at verse 2, it says, they built the altar of God of Israel to sacrifice burnt offerings in it in accordance with what is written in the law of Moses, the man of God. Then we see from verses 2 to 6, constantly there was a mention of burnt offerings. So what exactly is this burnt offering? For the burnt offering to be offered at the altar, a believer brings either a male bull, a male sheep or a goat or a turtle dove, maybe a young pigeon, depending on their financial capacity. The worshipper then lays his hand on the animal and that then the animal is being sacrificed. It's cut into pieces and laid on the altar. All of the animal was then burnt up on the altar as a burnt offering, and the smoke that went up was considered to be a fragrant smell in the presence of God. The basic idea was the burnt offering went up to God. It was a gift from the worshipper to his God, who freely allowed him to have life with him. All of the animal gets burnt up as a burnt offering. That is the way the worshipper is showing to God that they will commit the whole of their lives and belongings to the service of God. Everything that you gifted me, Lord, whether it's time, whether it's talents, whether it's treasures, whether it's family, whether it's my affections, whether it's my aspirations, there is not one area in my life that I will not withhold from you, Lord. That is what the worshipper communicates to God by offering a burnt offering. So we New Testament believers do not have a sacrificial system for the Old Testament. So your pet dog or the cat is not in danger of being sacrificed in the church premise. But Christian believers are also not someone who gathers just on a Sunday and sings some songs. A Christian worshiper is someone who is desiring to devote the whole of his life to live for God. And every phase of his life, whether it's his single life, whether it's private life, family life, work life, during his retirement life, believer want to commit every aspect of life and every phase of life to be devoted to God. Believers at times do sin, but when they sin, it does grieve them, and they would seek to confess their sin. That's why we do have confession time at church, and we seek to devote ourselves once again fully to God. For believers to be fully devoted to God, believers should be closely guided by the Bible. It is the leader's responsibility to make the Bible play a central role when meeting together for Sunday service, but also at other times to empower believers to fulfill their calling to be fully devoted to God. So in addition to making sacrifices, in verse 4 we see that in accordance with what was written in the Bible, they also celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles that we will look under the third heading, Remembering. So the Israelites have devoted their whole lives to God after they gathered together. Now they remember something. So we see in verse 4, then in accordance to what is written, they celebrated the Festival of Tabernacles with the required number of burnt offerings. So the Festival of Tabernacles was associated with the history of Israel. There was a previous generation that came out from the land of Egypt to the promised land of Israel. The Israelites were once slaves in a foreign land. God rescued them from the powerful Egyptian Pharaoh and took them to the promised land. The Israelites, when they came out of Egypt, lived in temporary tents for 40 years before they were allowed to enter the promised land. So God asked the Israelites to celebrate the Festival of Tabernacle every year. The people would celebrate the festival to remember that God was the one who brought them out of captivity in Egypt and brought them into their promised land, Israel. So you have a picture. It's more of a modern day Jewish people celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles. It's generally that they live in a tabernacle and they remember what God has done for them. Now this current generation of Israelites, we see in the book of Ezra, they celebrate the Festival of Tabernacle for a different reason. This was to remember God was the one who brought them out of captivity from a Babylonian king to start life with God in Israel. In Christian churches, we also have communion service, a time when we remember how we all started life with God. We don't use tabernacles, but we use bread and wine so that we could remember that is the Jesus body that was broken and Jesus blood that was shed was the one that made us belong to God. That's the one which made us belong with other Christian brothers and sisters. This is to acknowledge that we once did not have life with God. We never belonged to God. We also remember that God has done something to bring us to be part of His family. So far in Ezra 3, we saw the Israelites, after gathering in Jerusalem, have to get involved in loads of work. They have to clear the ruins, build the altar, carry out burnt offerings night and day, organize the Feast of Tabernacle. That was not all. Then there were other sacrifices to be made in verse 5, if you look at verse 5. But then after all these work, not even the foundations were put in place, if you look at verse 6. Then the believers have to make financial contributions and other contributions. Their life was constrained by the teachings of the Bible, and a lot of time and resources of the Israelites have been invested in living out their life with God. All these, when you look at it, can feel a lot burdensome. There is constant work with thousands of people coming together and working together for a building project. However, there was a cause for rejoicing. For the Israelites have made progress in their temple building project. So finally, in verse 10, the temple foundations were laid. The Israelites see that they had made progress in what God has called them to do. And they respond to God in thanksgiving. So we see the Israelites rejoicing. So that's what we will look at as our last heading, rejoicing. So let me read from verse 11 onwards. So with praise and thanksgiving, they sang to the Lord. They said, He is good. His love to Israel endures forever. And all the people of Israel gave a great shout of praise to the Lord, because the foundations to the house of God were laid. So Israelites started their life with God. There was a lot of hard work involved in living a life of obedience to God. However, they could rejoice when some progress was made in their life with God. For 70 years, the Israelites were cut off from their life with God. Now they are back to enjoy life with Him. They belong to God. They were made belong to other brothers and sisters. They also get to enjoy being involved in God's temple project. So what do they say about this? In verse 11, if you say, they don't say, it's because of our own abilities and talents. No. They say, it's all because of God's love and His goodness. For they sing that God is good and His love towards His people endures forever. So we Christians also want to respond with thanks when we see spiritual progress in church ministry. So this week on Wednesday, we had our church level prayer meeting. We looked at a Bible passage from New Testament where a church minister, Paul, says that he thanks God when he sees the spiritual growth of people in the churches he has planted. He says when people continue in their faith or when people grow in their love for God, Paul says he's going to thank God. Why does he thank God? Because it is a work of God that makes a believer continue in their faith. It is God's work in people's life that makes people love one another deeply. So we also want to be humble when we see people's lives are transformed by the Spirit, by the Word of God. We don't want to take credit for what's happening in a church. We want to say, thanks be to God, you're working in our midst. However, in verse 12, we also see the older people who had seen the former temple. They wept aloud. Yes, the Israelites were blessed to start their life with God and see progress in their work on God's temple project. However, the blessings they enjoyed earlier was far better than what they experience now. So the new temple foundation looked pathetic compared to the previous temple built by King Solomon. King Solomon was the richest man on earth. At that time, he built a temple. But then the Israelites rebelled against God and the temple was destroyed by foreigners. And now they have come back by the grace of God. And the foundations laid for the temple show that the current generation in no way are going to match the temple building that stood previously in Jerusalem. So shouts of joy were mixed with sounds of weeping. There was only partial joy in the progress made in God's temple project. There is nothing wrong in sadness being attached to this progress made in God's temple project, because God never determined the Solomon's temple or the temple that was built by the leaders during Ezra's time to be a real place for life to happen with God. When we come to the New Testament books, the passage that Rosemary read for us, but also in other passages like John chapter 2, we see Jesus says, the real temple is the body of Christ. It is Jesus who allows his body to be broken and his blood to be shed for us to belong to God. It is Jesus to whom we come to find true forgiveness from God. It is Jesus to whom we come and say sorry to start our new life with God. It is Jesus to whom we come to enjoy the presence of God. He is the real temple. The place Jesus brings us for temple worship is God's presence that could truly satisfy all believers forever. The progress made in Ezra 3 meant something. He did underline that God was working again, and he did underline that there was a blessing for God's people with life in his presence. However, the progress was only partial, and there was valid reasons for partial rejoicing. For this temple in Ezra chapter 3, nor the temple built by King Solomon will ever match to provide the true joy that God wants to give for his people in his presence. However, if the believers in Ezra chapter 3 can rejoice, how much more should be the case with us when we see progress in church ministry, when we see people's lives transformed? We have a reason to rejoice, because Christians are not standing at a distance and looking at a foundation of a temple and not rejoicing. New Testament talks of Christian believers being built as living stones into the temple of Jesus. Bible teaches that we need New Testament believers as someone joined to Christ. We are united to Jesus and built into the temple of the body of Christ. We are in a unique situation to look at the progress of the church and rejoice. So Christians also have a work to do in God's temple project, and we have more reasons than the Old Testament believers to rejoice when we see progress in our spiritual walk or when we see progress in other believers' Christian walk. So if you are a Christian, is this your understanding about gathering together, devoting yourself to God, remembering and rejoicing in God? If you're not a Christian, Do you know how to belong to God before you come to a gathering in a church? If not, as Joel Edwards mentioned, Dagenham Parish Church is running the Close Encounters course that's going to start from next Sunday onwards. You could start, you could feel free to talk to me, or you could talk to anyone else who was in the front today. Now, we could enroll you for this course that could help you to know how you could belong to God and belong to other believers and gather with God's people. Let me pray as we close. Father God, we thank you that you have done marvelous things in Christ Jesus to make us belong to God. Help us to remember you as long as we live in this world. Help us to remember all Christ has done for us. Help us to devote ourselves completely to the work of the church that Christ is building. Help us to rejoice in all that you do in our midst. We ask everything in Jesus' name. Amen.